Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Hey there, friends. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living Business Edition. Happy to be here with you. My dog Molly is snoring so loud that I wonder if her snores are showing up in the audio. Hopefully not. If you guys know, Molly is my companion. She is always with me. You know, yesterday I was driving out of the house to go pick up my youngest from school, and my neighbor called me and was like, Molly just chased you down the street. We grabbed her for you. She's in the house with us. I was like, what is this dog thinking? She's like so attached to me that like she thinks she should go on every car ride. Like, when did I become a country woman, like with my dog sitting in the front row, in front seat, you know? Oh man. So that's Molly. She's with me, but she's my protector. She cleans a lot of energy for me. So very grateful for her and her snores. So hopefully you guys don't hear her. So, okay, guys. So a few days ago on Instagram, I asked you for some business questions. I was hoping I could kind of make them into a theme, and I was trying to figure out how to organize the questions, but I just really got the call to just go through the questions and answer them. A lot of them are questions that I could download information on, which is going to be fun. And then some of them seem like they're for me, like questions that you guys have about like me and my own experience. So I'll definitely kind of switch from both modes, from kind of like an intuitive download to my experience, which I feel like you guys might have a question about that, like how that happens and how do I do that? So I would say that my intuitive self is, and like usually who you hear in the podcast, is my ability to connect and like stay connected. And it's like a gift that I have, and I can switch into it like when I need to. But I always allow myself to be human, because even though that connection is the connection to my higher self, so I kind of like let the higher self come in and take up space in my body, I do respect that my soul decided to have a human experience. So I always like let myself have a human experience, and that's also kind of why you might sense that I am both grounded and connected at the same time, because I enjoy the human experience. I think it's beautiful. I feel like it's going to be one of those things that when we pass, we're going to look back and be like, oh my God, that was so fast. Like kind of like when you're having a hard time raising like little ones, but at the same time, when they start to get older, you're like, oh my gosh, like that really felt like it just went away in like a second. So I kind of get that feeling that we're going to feel that when we pass away. So I really try to enjoy the human experience. And there are, I don't know, I can tell the difference between like when I'm meant to like really be in the human experience, like be grounded in it, get information from it, learn from it, observe it. And then it's like my higher self like then takes those experiences and is able to use them. So I do go in and out. So with these questions, you will probably see me do that, like go in and out. Typically, when I am really connected to the higher self, I tend to take more like longer pauses. I look off to the side. That's why I do my readings with my eyes closed, because I am just in a straight, like a moment of presence and focus. And I kind of forget that anything else exists. And I'm just like fully connected and focused. So that's usually how you can tell. And then there's like Nikki, which Nikki's super fun. She has personality and she's funny and she talks fast. So there's like those, you know, kind of like switching back between both is fun. And that's definitely what we'll probably do today. So we have a bunch of questions. I'm going to try to answer them quickly. Pray for me, because you know me, I'm so wordy. And yeah, I'd love your feedback on this episode. This is almost like a group reading type style. So would love to hear your feedback as well. So let's get into it. First question, is it too late to get into selling digital products? No, everything digital is definitely where things are going. It just feels to me that there's just a change in which, in the way like that digital projects are done. So it feels like prices may be different. I mean, I remember when I first started doing digital products, like you could get away with like some, there was people getting away with like ridiculous prices, like $10,000 for like some course or whatever. And that is definitely, we're not able to do that anymore, which I mean, we probably shouldn't have been doing that anyways. So it's, the prices seem to be different. And it also feels to me like what you offer into the digital course like needs to be a little different than maybe what you have consumed. But no, it's still, it's kind of like saying, that question to me feels like almost saying like, is it not a good idea to open a restaurant because there's other restaurants? I mean, could there ever be enough restaurants? You know, like we always want different foods. We want them from different people. We want different chefs. And that's what the digital product scene feels like to me. All right, this is a good one. How to discern if getting more clients just takes more time or if you're, you know, kind of doing something wrong. What I'm getting for this question is that there's a gap in knowledge in getting more clients. So it almost feels like the way in which you think to get more clients, that there are more ways to do so. So clients is kind of a second step to awareness or even traffic. So the way that I see it in my business is like the things that I do to get traffic. So which to me, traffic is like people that know who I am. They might not be clients, right? They're many of them are not people that are purchasing, but it's like people that know that I exist. And I, there are many things that I do in order to like make myself known. That could be like I go on other people's podcasts, or I teach on other people's platforms, or I teach at a local event, or I go to a networking event, you know, anything like that. Or I talk to a friend and I tell them, hey, I'm offering these services, like, you know, let me know if you know anybody. So these are like the outreach, the things that I do to get traffic. And my sense is this question is not necessarily that it just takes time. It does feel like there's a gap in knowledge. So a little bit of education here. This is like entrepreneurship education. And it looks like the way people get clients is the same across all industries. So you may be looking at like only your industry, but to go into just like business in general, it feels like your industry might not be able to like teach all of it to you. So go beyond and go to like almost like if you would get an MBA, there's many different businesses that people are going to make from learning, you know, from going to an MBA. So how would those professors like teach getting clients or getting traffic or getting sales? And that looks like the knowledge that you are missing. So a little bit of some studying. Next question, how do you know if it's time to take a leap that seems like three leaps? I like this question. This leap looks like it needs a little bit of planning, some like listing it out, almost like an itinerary. So kind of, you know, a leap is, you know, we can look at the metaphor of like a physical leap, right? Like if I'm jumping and maybe I'm making like a really big jump this time, I might like look at it from different angles. I might like measure it if possible. I might practice like to see how big I can jump before I actually like make that kind of jump. My kids love that show, The Floor is Lava, you know, and like there's tons of jumps and leaps in there and some are crazier than others. And they don't make the jump right away, right? Like they kind of look at it, they like study it as much as they can, and then they go for it. So this feels like this leap has to be studied a little bit and planned for as much as possible. Not that it's all going to work out as planned, but there's like a timeline and like an itinerary that needs to be made about this leap. And in this leap, it also looks like it's not just the physical actions that you do to make the leap, but before you make the leap, I'm actually seeing like manifestation practices. So again, if I was going to make a physical leap, right? Like I was going to jump from one thing to the other, I might even like imagine myself making that jump and making it happen. So maybe if I was going to be on that show, The Floor is Lava, maybe I would watch a lot of episodes of The Floor is Lava and like imagine myself making each jump, imagine myself winning, you know, feeling what it feels like to be like that. So it feels like it's not only like an itinerary or action steps that need to be laid out, but also a mental rehearsal, which also kind of falls into the category of manifestation and like quantum leaping, basically. So the leap will not pan as well as you would like if your emotions, like your insides, are not in alignment with it. So it's asking for like a internal alignment before the leap is made. Next question, how do you discern which is the most aligned idea to pursue when you're multi-passionate? Oh, this is like a story of my life. I feel like I'm a little bit better at this than like my husband, Benny. Like Benny comes up with a new idea every day and it's like so fun to be with Benny and to be around him. So I love that part of him. So I get it. Multi-passionate is, I feel like could be confused a little bit with having an open, like it's like almost misunderstood because like a multi-passionate, a person that's like coming up with a lot of ideas is just a person that is open, has like an open channel, basically like an open crown chakra, and is like letting ideas use them. And of course, it's kind of like almost like being open to get pregnant, but like not all children are going to be born. So there's a process, like there's a time for that, right? Like there's a beautiful time for like coming up with all these ideas, letting them drop into your body. And then of course, like deciding which is the one that you would be most excited to bring into the world because, you know, yes, people can bring in triplets, but that's really damn hard, right? Like I have a friend that had triplets and the amount of like support and help to be able to like raise those three kids, it is nicer to have one at a time. So it is nicer to have like one idea at the time because you're going to be able to like give that idea and that business or whatever a better life than having several. So what I'm getting for this one is actually the part of you that like comes up with all the ideas is the part of you that kind of like leaves your body to grab the ideas. But then when you come into your body and you're fully, fully grounded in like the day to day and all that, then which idea feels like something you would want to bring into the earth when you know that it's actual physical? Because sometimes like an idea is really exciting when it's not physical, right? Like when it's out in the, it's like outside of my body, but when I'm actually like in my body, there might be some ideas that are not as fun. So my sense is like, it's great that you're going out and like getting different ideas and that you're multi-passionate, but then dropping all those ideas like in a spreadsheet where you can compare all, so let's say like there's five of them, and put them side by side and like rank them. Like, so for example, one rank might be profit margin. Like, so for example, there are some businesses that have better profit margins than others, right? Like doing what I do, right? Like that I do these like one-time sessions, is the profit margin there is much bigger than let's say what my husband used to do in a tree business because there was so much overhead. And it's not that like the decision needs to be made just by that one question, but it looks like when you stack the ideas next to each other, it could be like, does it need money to start up? Does it not need money to start up? It could be, does it need a physical space? Is this going to change the schedule I have within my family? Like, does which one takes like longer to actually make a profit? Things like that. Like as you stack them together, it does look like you'll be able to make a choice. So multi-passionate people are typically like traveling outside of their body, getting the ideas. But then the next step is grounding the ideas and asking like, which one would I actually want to do in physical form? Next up, how to walk the line of asking for help, but knowing also like who to talk to, because not everybody's going to give you the best idea. And if your idea needs an investment, who to ask for investment help? This question really sounds like this idea is still in the incubation stage. So what is an incubation stage? An incubation stage of an idea is when you don't really truly understand the idea just yet. You're incubating it. It's like, it's the pregnancy stage. It's like, I'm getting pregnant with it. I don't truly understand it. And in incubation stages, this is like not the best time to bring in outside advice because it's too fragile. So for example, when I was thinking up, you know what, I think I'm going to do a business on intuitive readings and I'm going to talk about spirit guides and all these things, but I really don't know if it's going to work. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not confident. That is not a time for me to talk to my dad who's a doctor, or talk to my other brother, to my brother who's a doctor, or to my mom who is deeply religious, right? Because they are people that don't understand what I'm doing. And since I do not have a clear understanding, I can't even defend it yet. So if I'm in the incubation stage, I don't want to bring in people that I would have to defend it to. You can bring it to people who are like the type of people that are, oh my God, yeah, anything is possible. Like people who are entrepreneurs, who are creatives, who love to brainstorm ideas, who love you, who love what you're up to. I'm currently like playing with a new idea. And I'm not talking to everybody about it. I just talked to like a couple friends that are close to me, that know like what, you know, what I'm capable of. And we just kind of, you know, brainstorm and talk about it until it gets more clear. So if an idea is in the incubation stage, this is when you have to be super careful about who you bring into your space. And my sense is that the question you're asking, the idea that you're coming up with is in incubation. How do you get out of incubation? So the way you get out of incubation stage, the difference between like being in the incubation stage and not is actually confidence and belief in the product. And confidence doesn't come like out of nowhere. It's not like, oh, I have confidence or I don't. It's actually like I have tested this product over and over again, and I really, really know it works. And when I know that it works, then it's time for me to like sell it in a bigger way. So let's say like the soul readings that I do. At first, I was only like, it was only word of mouth. But now, if I want to promote it in a big way and I don't know, buy a, I don't know, an ad on somebody's podcast to like sell the soul readings, I'd feel super confident in that because like I've run the soul readings through like the ringer. Like I've done all sorts of clients, young, old, I've done it in all sorts of forms. I've taught other people, like I know that it works. So the confidence isn't really like because I just woke up one day and I'm confident. It's because the product has been tested and I'm confident in what it could do. So that is what gets me out of the incubation stage. Anybody can talk to me about the soul reading, and nobody's going to convince me that it's not a good idea because I can defend it at this point. So once you're out of that stage, that is a good time to, yeah, like let anybody know about it. And you have to get to that place because that's how you get like more audience. It's like being able to go outside of like your little inner circle. And this is also a good time for investors. And just somebody who's like, you know, I've been in business for many years, and I think about if somebody would have given me money early on in my process, I would have blown it. Even early, not only in my process, but early on in my process as an entrepreneur, I would not have known what to do with it. So like Benny's business, for example, my husband's business, I mean, it was a good product and everything, but I was such a young, green entrepreneur. I mean, I was scared of my accountant, you know, at the time. That was anybody who would have given me money at that time, let's say like, oh, here, we love your business. Like we're going to invest in it. Unless they were like watching over me and telling me how to spend the money. And they were kind of the investors that were also like board members. It would be a horrible idea because I was too young as an entrepreneur. And then the other bad time to get money would be if I don't understand, I haven't proven my product yet. And the old way of raising capital was really that, like you're kind of like selling the idea. And people still do that for sure. But with time, investors have learned to invest in people that have already like made something work or have proven that this thing works already. So, I mean, if you watch Shark Tank, they like to give money to people that like already have gotten as far as they can, you know, on their own, right? It's an older book, but there's a great book called Running Lean that teaches this concept of like, when you have a product, you just do it kind of like bare bones and you're testing it while you are running it. So for example, maybe I have a course. I still do this with all my courses or all my programs. I beta test first, which means like I invite people to join me and I'm like, hey guys, I'm going to teach it live. I don't like have all of it together, but you know, this is kind of what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. After I test that idea with a live group, then I will kind of make that product to last and I will build it better, stronger, and start to like prove it so that like I know that it's working. And then after I run it a few times, then I will be my own investor. I will actually invest in it. So when I first started, I used to be like, oh, I need to have nice videos for this course. And I would spend $3,000 in nice footage. And guess what? I would make that course and then come out with it and have no idea if it's going to work. And then I didn't feel confident about it. And people would take the course and they had more questions than I actually talked about in the course, and I had already invested all this money in the videos, so I didn't want to redo the videos, and it was a big hot mess because at that stage of the product was not a good time to invest in the product. Soul Reading Method, which is, you know, my like one of my big offers, I didn't invest in professional videos for that course until I think it was like the sixth or seventh time that I ran the program. And then I was like, okay, this works. I get it. And I paid for somebody to like film and edit the course. So it, sometimes you are your own investor, and you also have to know when it's a good time to invest and when it's not a good time to invest. So to me, those of you who are asking this question, investors is after you believe in the product and after you've proven on a small scale that the product works. Oh, sorry. And you asked like where to find investors. This to me feels like this is kind of very like an easy question, because when you know that it needs to be invested in, like you feel confident enough to ask anybody who is around. So this has a lot to do with like believing in the product first. And this feels like family, friends, organizations, grants, like there's all sorts of way that there is money out there for the product once you believe and understand and know the product very intimately. Next question, wanting to marry astrology and holistic health and also curious about timing of going back to school. So what I'm getting from this question is actually kind of goes back to investment. We're talking about when is it time to invest and, you know, when is it time to like get the investor? And this question is really about investment in self. So that is something that in business, we can't get anywhere unless we're investing in ourselves. And that is usually like the first thing we invest in. And we also continue to invest in ourselves. But typically, like that example that I was telling you, that if somebody would have given me money to invest into Benny's business, would have been like really a bad choice because I was such a young entrepreneur. Now, if somebody would have given me money to go to an MBA school, that would have been a good use of money because it was an investment in me as a leader. So that's typically like the first investment and the best investment, because you like have to be a strong enough container to hold the creations that are coming through you. So it's like I have to be like strong within myself to be able to be a good mother to my children. So I need to be strong within myself as an entrepreneur in order to like be the steward of these programs and these courses and these clients. So I feel like on this topic, this is a question about understanding what it means to invest in yourself and understanding how important that is. And that's always the first thing that we do. And it's also the thing that we will do throughout our businesses, like really getting, like if you are a little talented ballerina, your mom is going to find you the best ballerina instructor out there. So to kind of continue to invest in you as a talent, and this to me seems like, when's the right time to go and invest in myself and go back to school? Like yesterday was the best time for that. This is like probably a whole episode on its own for this question, but I'm going to do the best I can to kind of answer it shortly. I would love a reading on where the economy is headed. So this is, you know, a whole thing. But what I'm getting for this question is the economy is headed wherever our heads are at. The economy is headed wherever we want to put our focus on, where we want to put our brain together. It's like actually economy looks like it comes from some sort of group thought. It's like almost like the group psychology is what creates the economy. I am not an economist, and I love to study, but it's one of the things I have not studied. But it does look like what I'm getting is like all heads being put together, and that's actually what creates the economy. Now, some people are affected by the economy as a result of like kind of older, you know, thoughts and ways of being, and even just sometimes affected by the economy from a lack of knowledge. Like for example, COVID really spiked some people's businesses, especially like online coaches, or like you think about something like Zoom, it like spiked their businesses. And if I was new to business and I saw that spike, I might be like, oh, I'm killing it. Like, that's it. Like, I'm going to be making a ton of money for the rest of my business. But maybe like my father, when he saw that happening, I remember, cause I had a spike in my business, and my husband, my dad was like, Nicole, remember, and like he gave me a bigger picture. He's like, this is a season. This is not going to be the norm. This is a spike. It's going to come back down. run your money that way. And I was really grateful that he gave me that because he was correct. So some people are affected by the economy because of that lack of like understanding the seasons. But also economy is created like through our group psychology and our like heads being put together. So I feel like where I could be supportive with this question would really be more about letting yourself go beyond the economy, like not a wishful thinking or like a, you know, this positivity that is, you know, not realistic, but this feels like be the trendsetter, like be the person that thinks things are going to get better, or like be the person that doesn't accept like the negativity, to be very protective about who's telling you about the economy, to be very protective over thinking that you need to go by a set of rules, that like you have to exist in this tent that is the economy. There's actually space outside of the economy. Like you can exist outside of the economy, if that makes sense. Like, and what I mean by that is like the group thought of economy. We don't have to like all exist in it. We can actually step out of it and work from there. If that, I feel like those of you who get it. So I'm not gonna explain that too much. So again, what I can offer with this question right now in this short amount of time is, stay focused on the light and like what your North Star is. The predictions of an economy or where an economy is at is just a hurdle within like where you're going. And there's going to be a ton of hurdles within you where you are going. And hurdles are not, they're not supposed to like stop us or like make us turn around. Hurdles are challenges that we learned to overcome. So if I'm walking down a road and there's a big ass bump, a hill, I'm not like, oh, gotta turn around. No, like it might take me a year to build a bridge over like this hill or whatever, but my innovation is what's gonna get me over that hill. It is not a reason for me to back down or to turn back. Even if it does take some time to get over that challenge, I can get over that challenge. And that's really how we wanna see the economy. And it's also when you think that way, you are supporting that group thought so that we can get out. We're just in a sucky group thought that like really came from like an anxiety from COVID and all these things, and like an anger and an unprocessed blame. So we're like in a group thought right now. So let's little by little, all of us break out of it, and responsibly, of course, and we will start turning the economy around through that. But in the meantime, when there is a challenge that might be because of the economy, inflation, things like that, we build our bridges, we don't turn around. Any guidance on taxes for astrology reading? My best guidance for this is get yourself an accountant. They're so much more affordable than you would think. I was so afraid of my accountant for so many years. And I think getting the right accountant is important. My first accountant was my father's business accountant, and I was so unsure about what I was doing. I was unsure of myself as an entrepreneur running Benny's business, that choosing my dad's accountant was a really bad idea, because it was like I was failing in front of my father, who was a seasoned doctor, an amazing provider, a good entrepreneur. Or business owner, actually. And like, I had to, like, it was messy for me, and to be watched by somebody who like literally represented my father, because he was a Cuban man, my father's age, like, you know, like spoke to me in Spanish the whole time. And it was a bad idea. And then ultimately, a friend of mine is a female accountant, and she was like, Nikki, like, please let me take care of your stuff. And that really helped me release the shame. And she taught me a lot, you know, and I asked questions to other business owners about bookkeeping and all that kind of stuff. So I recommend, I think it's super, super worth it to have a bookkeeper and an accountant. Typically they come together, like you can, or you can do it separately. Some people pay their accountant only at the end of the year. I pay about, I want to say $400 a month to have everything bookkept and like my accounting services within that. So it's I feel like that's like so worth your money. And I feel like that's pretty affordable. I know I could be coming from a different place, But bookkeeper, like first, and then accountant is usually what comes at the end. Like the accountant is typically like the person that does your taxes. But I do love having my bookkeeper and my accountant from the same place because they communicate. And for somebody like me, we invest in homes and real estate. I have to have a close relationship with my accountant because they are usually the people that are producing reports and paperwork for me to be able to get these houses. So I think with time, it's just like a really important thing to find somebody that you are comfortable with. Next question, how to figure out what your business idea is and how to take action on it. This is the messy and annoying part of business starting, you know? I think this is the part like none of us wanna do because we don't wanna look like we don't know what we're doing. We don't want people to like see our messiness, our dirty laundry out like for everybody to see. And I think we avoid this step so much. And creation is messy. And even think about a newborn child, right? Like, you know, think about yourself, like versus like who you are now versus like who you were as a child. Like your parents might've gotten a little bit of a vibe of like who you were when you were very, very little, but it did take time for you to kind of grow into yourself, for your parents to be like, oh, this is like their personality, this is who they are. Or if you're a parent, same thing, right? Like, you know, it takes time to get to know that creation. So you have to, you have to do, you have to try, you have to throw, you have to be messy, throw things at the wall. I have like this new body of work that's coming through me. And I also like do not know what it is. So I've been playing with Substack, and which is like a platform where you can, it's really like a blogging platform. And you guys, like what I've written is so bad. Like it's messy, it's horrible, it's like ugly, like it's just not good. But I have to get like that moving to understand what this thing is within me. I need to be able to see it outside of myself in order to really understand it. So let yourself be messy, you know, really check in with yourself over your perfectionistic like tendencies. Can you release that? Can you be creative, right? So, and how do you start? Like, well, first you can start off by copying, like kind of taking your idea and copying other people and trying their ideas at first and be like, okay, like, no, I didn't really like that. And then you keep copying people until you come up with something like that is more original to you. So at first, business ideas are typically a little bit of a copy of other business ideas. I was very inspired when I first started by Chris Carr. I discovered green juice, like green smoothies, and it changed my life. And I just kind of, what she was doing is like what I tried to do, you know, and then ultimately I found my own voice within it, even with Substack, right? Like I'm looking at other Substackers. So like at first, just kind of like copying, and then ultimately like finding what is really true and unique and authentic to you. But I don't think, and in this question in particular, like I just don't see you getting any further in your head. I do see you having to ground those ideas and putting them into the earth and letting yourself see them in physical form. And if you are not taking action on a business idea, it's really because like you're afraid of like people watching you, but also kind of afraid of ourselves watching ourselves. So I would make a safe space for those first few attempts. So maybe it's like, I'm not going to make my attempts on Instagram. Like maybe I'm going to make my first few attempts with some friends and I'm going to show them my idea, or I'm going to make my attempts, my family. Like, so just kind of figuring out what is the safest way to make your attempts so that you don't feel super exposed. So like when it comes to taking actions, what are like really kind of put your safety first, like what really makes you feel safe, because the only reason we don't take action is because we don't feel safe. So it could be a little bit of conversations with myself so that I could feel more safe, but it could actually also be the way in which I'm taking the step, if the environment is safe or not. And can we tone that down? I'm not going to put my son who's just learning to play tennis to go play tennis with the middle school team at his school. I'm going to get him one-on-one lessons in my backyard, let's say, you know, so that I can really give him like the best shot of like playing and enjoying it while he doesn't have to worry about feeling insecure about being around other people. So there might be like a safety thing going on here. Would love to hear your opinion on balancing passion projects with work that pays more. I personally think that we should always be doing a little bit of that. There might be times where your business is like really growing and like you're fully focused on like the growth of your business. But I do believe that we always have to innovate. even if like I have a full-time job and, you know, like I just keep writing out that full-time job, I actually feel that you should, if you're feeling called to something, you should consider the side hustle or the passion project or whatever on the side. Because first of all, there's like that full-time job could maybe not be sustainable. So like it could be something that you might get burnt out within 10 years, or even like your industry might change. And how nice that like your past self 5 years ago started a side hustle and it's kind of picking up now and it's easy to jump over. So if you're feeling called to it, I think that that is not only like a selfish, like, oh, I should do a passion project. To me, it is actually like your future telling you that this may be like a good place to kind of shift into, because something might be shifting in like the way that you make money. And it could be that you personally cannot keep it up anymore because you're exhausted, or that the industry in itself changes. In my own business, there are often times that I am experimenting on the side so that my business continues to innovate. Another just kind of smart way, when you have a business, or let's say you do have a full-time job that gives you good income, actually, you know, you do all the investments, you save your money, blah, 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 but actually investing in a business that you're passionate about can be seen as a good investment. So for us, like, you know, I make money, I pay for what we need to pay for in the house, take care of savings, blah, blah, blah. But then, okay, instead of buying more shit, I take my money and invest it into the next business, which is the real estate business, the development business that Benny has. So, and he's passionate about it, and I am too, because I get to do things that I don't like. He lets me design, even though I'm bad at it. Well, I'm not gonna say that anymore, guys. I'm getting better at it. But it is, passion projects are, I think the word passion makes us think that they're silly pursuits, but I kind of would love for you to feel into it and maybe see that it's actually your intuition telling you what is next. Next question, retirement and business, how to manage it. I don't know if I'm getting this question right, but what I'm sensing is retirement, you know, it's a concept of slowing down. And it feels like for you, retirement is going to be about teaching the next generation. So it almost looks like you have some sort of skill, and that instead of maybe like you being the one that physically does it, to kind of consider teaching others or having people like work under you. So if you see retirement more as, rather than retirement, thinking about it as like an efficient use of your time and your energy, like what is the most efficient way? It seems like that's where those ideas are going to come from. And then if you're not close to retirement, because I feel like you are close to retiring, that's where this question's from, but maybe like, let's say we're younger entrepreneurs and we're like myself, I have a 6-year-old, I'm not retiring anytime soon. This feels like, again, managing, you know, I know as entrepreneurs, it takes so long for us to actually like make a profit and make money that when we get it, we're so excited to like use it and spend the money. And, you know, definitely do that for a couple years as I did. I like just spent money for a few years because it was so nice to have money. But then ultimately you start to split your spending and you actually become not cheap, but like you just honor your money in a different way. And that's where you want to think about, how can I use this money to like make more money? And that could probably be a next business or a way of like investing it. But yeah, like thinking beyond that and some passive stuff. So it's definitely a little bit of looking ahead. Up next, with the changing landscape, where do you think spiritual business is heading? I believe spiritual business is heading to becoming a fully formed profession. So I think, you know, we were all at the beginnings of seeing people become practitioners and intuitives and all that. And some people have like bigger audiences because they came at it early. And now it's like, oh, well, what is happening? You know, like there's a lot of people that want to be intuitives or healers or whatever. And I feel like that's like saying there's a lot of pharmacists or doctors, but like I'm not going to not become a doctor because I'm like, oh, but my, you know, there's all these people that I know that are doctors as well. The spiritual business is kind of taking that form. Like it is going to be a practice, and it's going to be seen more like as a like a practitioner. So I see offices being open. I see it being like part of the healthcare environment, and there will always be training and all that kind of stuff. And there's always going to be a few standout doctors, right? Like there are some doctors that really go big and they brand themselves beyond, and they have, you know, face cream lines, and that will always be part of our industry, but the majority of people will, it's kind of like saying athletes, like there's on every team, there's probably like 1-2 star athletes, unless you're the Miami Heat guys, but usually there's only a few star athletes. And then the rest are just like this, like kind of like, okay, like the everyday athlete that like is supporting the rest of the team. My sense is we'll see that with spiritual business. Like there will be some that are like really shooting for the stars, but it is overall just a profession. And we're going to see that more and more. I think like keep an eye on, if you're in this industry, I would actually keep an eye on healthcare, like, cause that's where it's ultimately going to be kind of moved into, or psychology, therapy. We already have seen therapy like get caught off guard where they, you know, there's like these big companies like BetterHelp or whatever that are, you know, making these therapists work for like $10 or something. And that is like what we want to be aware of. So like we don't want to kind of go into these like mass, like call a psychic thing or anything like that, because we want to kind of keep, we want to make sure nobody tries to swallow us up. But it's really about being practitioners and really getting to the heart of why we're called to this work, not pretending like, oh yeah, I want to do good for the world, but I really just want to be famous. Like you have to, if you really just want to be famous, like pick something else, you know? So this is really about being a healer. Like that's where this business is going. And if that doesn't sound fun, then find another industry to work in. Would love to know about business partners. How do you know if you're a good fit? Oh, I love that question. I rarely get that question, but I actually work with a lot of business partners. Like I do readings for like joint business partner readings, which is really fun. What I'm getting here is kind of really taking a minute to think about what each person brings to the table and making sure that each person is at the same level. So sometimes partnerships is like, I brought somebody in that could like have just like really been a good assistant or something, or a really good VP, which is different than like, it's kind of like saying I brought in a partner that could have really just been like a good babysitter instead of like actually being my partner. So that's the first question I have. My sense also too is that I feel like the partner you're asking about is like moving too quickly, or that all of this is like exciting and it's moving too quickly, but like will burnt out. So it feels like a very long courtship would be helpful to see kind of the stamina, because this is not about a sprint. This is like a long walk, not even a marathon. It's like a long walk together. So allowing yourself to have like a long courtship before deciding, and also deciding if this is like a really good second person in command, or if this person's really worthy of being like shoulder to shoulder with me, because there may be like a setup where it's like this person is not shoulder to shoulder with me, but I'd still love to work with them. But that needs to be very clear from the get-go, and I might have more skin in the game and I might have to work more, but at least like we cleared that up, because even like the finances and everything is split up that way. So you're still kind of partners, of course, but it's not an equal partnership, but everybody's okay with that. So I feel like you just need to look at that with your partnership. Okay, guys, we have 3 more questions. Hang in there. I hope this is helpful. How do you monetize your podcast? So I'm not sure if this is a question for me or if this is like a question for the universe. I personally do not monetize this podcast. I just love being with you guys, and I trust that when I create community and I give a lot of love, that it will come back to me. And my business has a lot of ways in which you could work with me. So if I started a podcast and I had no way for people to work with me, then I would be a little concerned. I'd probably get burnt out. But if I have a whole system where there's like so many different ways that you can purchase from me, the podcast would be seen as like a free like a marketing thing that I would do, that is really just like kind of my sweat equity in it, but that I'm getting paid back because somehow people like buy different programs or one-on-one sessions with me. So that's one way to monetize. And I would say that's the way that I'm doing it right now. And then of course, the other way is to do sponsorships. If that happens, it happens. I have never been a good influencer because I don't buy a lot of things. I have a hard time selling things that I don't believe in. So that would never be like a really good business model for me, because it's just not my personality. I'm open to it if it would come my way and it's something that I really believe in, I am totally open to it. And I have done things like that before. I did a collaboration with Teachable, who I love. I've made so much money with Teachable. So of course I want to share Teachable. So things like that work for me. And another way, which I don't know if I want to share with you guys already, but I am working on this like super cool subscription that goes with the podcast. That's going to be like really inexpensive. And basically you're going to get, if you want to dig deeper into the show. So like if you want a meditation to go with the show, if you want the journal prompts that come with the show that I'm working on, then you would join my subscription. I have a good audience for a model like that because I have an engaged audience and I don't need a ton of people to make a subscription worth it. But I don't have a good audience for the ad model because you would need about 10,000 downloads an episode to start getting some of that ad money. And I am not interested in climbing that ladder. Like, I'm not interested in just monetizing you, if that makes sense. I'm not interested in like forcing myself to get 10,000 downloads. If it happens, like I said, I'm excited. I'm open to it. I know it will happen one day. But that's not my business model. So yeah, that's the way. If you want to monetize that way, then basically the podcast would be your product and you are working to build that product well enough. You're selling that product. You're getting people to listen or whatever so that you can get to that ads start to come in. How to pitch yourself on other podcasts. This is another like entirely, you know, other episode. I'm actually teaching a course next month that is about spreading your message, and we go in depth about podcasts, so I'll definitely let you guys know about that. But really quick, to be on other people's podcasts, there's levels to it, of course, like people's podcasts that are not as big as others, those you just kind of, you know, find friends and like get yourself in there. And then the bigger podcasts, you really, really need to be an expert in one specific area. So if you're not there yet, like really build your expertise is the most important thing. Really understand what you're offering, understand like what makes you different. And pitching is all about like angles, like really understanding what the angles are. I'm super grateful that I studied public relations because that's what taught me everything. So yeah, if you want to know about pitches and angles, I'd love to have you in that course, which will be happening next month. You saw that, guys? That's how I monetize the podcast. Okay, last question. How can you tell if your business is ready to shift? I think our business tells us that it's ready to shift through our own feelings, and they're usually not the best feelings. So they're feelings of boredom or even like, I just feel like I'm putting a lot of effort, I'm not making a lot of money, feelings of just kind of being a little over it, or even feelings of being curious about what is next, or being curious about what other people are doing, being a little bored, truly. That's kind of one of the first feelings that a person will feel. And if you're asking this question, it's because it's time to shift your business. But my intuition tells me that you do not have the belief, the confidence, the vision to believe that like you could shift it. So I actually would put this question like just to the side, like whether you're supposed to shift or not, like don't worry about that for now. And I would bring in a little bit of some manifesting, and I would let yourself vision like what would be the next vision for your business. And then kind of sitting in meditation, like feeling it. Oh my gosh, like I feel it, I'm sensing it, I'm shifting. Yes, I believe in myself. I'm working on my boundaries, getting confident. And then actually when you shift your internal state, it will be very obvious that like the shift is just happening. So the only reason, like if you're asking that question, it just sounds like your internal environment is not ready for the external shift that the business is asking for. It needs a strong, I mean, I think our business is unfortunately always like, oh, like I need a stronger leader to be able to do what I want to do. I feel my business does that to me all the time. She's like, oh, there's Nikki getting in the way of like where we're supposed to go. So you can also sit with your business in meditation and say, how can I get out of the way? Or like, how am I getting in your way? And it will show you where it wants to go. Woof. All right, friends, that's it. How was that? Tell me, like, is it boring to hear other people's questions? Was it messy because I was jumping from a bunch of different questions? Or yeah, was it entertaining? Not that we're going to make the episodes like this by any means, but was it fun to kind of throw that there in the middle of all these episodes that we've been doing? Okay, friends, have a beautiful week. Love you much. Thank you for the questions, and I will see you next time. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.